than other activities, just participating in the ciclovía.
Very briefly, is behind these gender disparities, there should be structural factors, as for example, I don't remember the figure, but the proportion of family with a single parent, only the mother and the children, is very important. We should bear in mind the violence processes in Latin America, and I think there are other structural factors that may explain that, the caregiving responsibilities of a lot of mothers in Latin America.
Last question.
Very briefly, Colombia is a very complex country with a lot of contrasts. If you visit Bogota, I invite you to visit Bogota, for example, Bogota is more secure than Sao Paulo, than Rio de Janeiro, with a lot of cities of Latin America. Other regions are more dangerous, with high rates of kidnapping. The security conditions in Bogota, I think, have improved in a significant way. Unfortunately, the kidnappings are relatively rare in this moment. I don't know if other members, but in rural areas, in some rural areas, the guerrilla movements, paramilitaries, and other groups, evidently, the presence are remarkable. But Bogota is like is more safer than Mexico DF, for example.
Just a final note on that: it does influence design, and it influences design in terms of, you notice the spectrum of households that they did the study in, they weren't able to gain access to the richest part of society, partially because they have such security. So it has influenced design in that way to some degree. If people have further questions, we'll be at this back door out here.
Good afternoon, everybody. Today I'm here to talk to you about HIA. Health impact assessment, it's a combination of different procedures, methods, and tools by where you prospectively judge a project or a policy or a program and how that policy or program is going to affect the health of a community and subpopulations within that community, which is very important when you're looking at HIA. You really want to look at any kind of health disparities that might be occurring within different subgroups. As I said before, it's a prospective methodology, and at the end of the day, when you're finished with your analysis, you go to those policymakers with recommendations on how to minimize any negative health outcomes and increase any positive health outcomes. So it's a little different than your traditional research design. It includes both quantitative and qualitative analysis. It also involves a lot of community input. And it's been around for probably 15 years. It's been used extensively all over the world, especially the leaders are probably the UK. And in some countries, it's mandatory. Currently, most of the HIAs done in this country have been voluntary. The most important thing about a health impact assessment is that it brings health to the table. It gets people who are making huge decisions about how to allocate transportation dollars, looking at, one of my colleagues looks at mining developments and oil developments in Alaska. And for people who aren't really thinking about the health, it's like, maybe you should start to think about how these decisions you're making, your policymakers, your engineers, how are the decisions that you're making in your job affecting people's health? They can be used both on projects and policies. Projects are typically affect a smaller group. It can involve just lots of different things. We've looked at parks, transit developments, highway developments. Policies are typically a little bit more difficult to do because you're looking, sometimes it's hard to tell exactly how the policy is going to be implemented, but they can affect much larger groups. Policies can affect, you know, an entire county, an entire state, or the entire country. You know, looking at everything from farm subsidized bills and on. Level of complexity, we do both qualitative and quantitative, and most HIAs use a combination of both of these methods, depending on the level of evidence that is available. Certain health outcomes like social capital and gentrification are typically harder to quantify. That does not mean they're not important, so you look at them with more of a qualitative analysis. Other impacts, sometimes physical activity, and I'll show you some of the injury analysis we've done, you're actually able to put numbers on it. Voluntary, and this is what most of the HIAs in this country have been done. You find the people who are interested in having an HIA done on their project, and you work with them. It's simpler, it's less litigious. You know, the mandatories are more likely to get done, but as in HIAs, or I'm sorry, EIAs, environmental impact assessments, every statement has to be legally defensive, so it's more complicated, and sometimes if it gets put in an EIA, as Brian mentioned, he's read some that are about 20,000 pages. So, you know, your little bit of health statement can sometimes get lost in the regulatory documents. Community involvement, it's a key part of most of the HIAs that have been done in this country. Sometimes due to bureaucratic restrictions at CDC, it's very difficult to involve community in projects. So what we started doing is partnering with other organizations like UCLA and Georgia Tech, and they're able to go out and get that community input and involvement. Sometimes as a scientist, you don't always realize all of the social impacts of projects, which is why it's great to get the community to tell you, it's like, how do you think this project is going to impact your health? Although sometimes what you find, we were looking at a huge redevelopment project in Atlanta, and the one health concern the community was most worried about was air pollution. We did the scientific analysis and found out that Atlanta already has such horrible air pollution that this project, even though it was massive, wasn't going to make a dent in all of our wonderful purple air pollution days. However, the downside to community involvement, it can substantially increase the time and the resources, and sometimes it's very difficult to get all of your stakeholders and identify them and then get them to come to the meetings and talk to you about this. As I mentioned before, the large urban redevelopment, the affluent, mostly Caucasian neighborhoods were at the table. They were very able to articulate. They would do the web-based surveys. They were at their NPU, their planning unit meetings, and were very vocal. However, it was very difficult to get the people who lived in the lower income minority populations in the southern section to come and voice their opinions. Now, if I'm sure everyone's heard here about environmental impact assessments, and these are mandated by the National Environmental Policy Act, and it's been around for, you know, 35 years. And the purpose of NEPA is to protect the human environment and stimulate the health and welfare of man. However, when you typically go through the EISs, they look at air quality and water quality. They don't always follow it through to all of the other health impacts of large projects. For instance, they don't look at, okay, we're going to see a 2% increase in particulate matter. They don't go then and say, okay, we expect an additional, 10,000 cases of hospital-related asthma attacks. So sometimes it really stops short of considering all of the health outcomes and especially taking it to that next level. So under NEPA, these have to get done. There's about 500 done every year. And while these have to be done and they have to say, okay, so for instance, we're looking at three different scenarios. They don't always have to do the one that's the most healthy. They just have to document how it's going to impact the health. Now, HIAs could logically fit within each.